You know, several years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit Israel, and we were there on a 10-day trip. And it was very enjoyable to see many of the things that happened over there, places where Jesus Christ walked. But one thing we noticed, some of the Jewish laws are very strict over there, and one of the places we stayed in had a Sabbath elevator. In other words, an elevator that many of the people that practice that way, they would use that elevator on the Sabbath only. And they had two elevators there, and the Sabbath elevator would literally stop at every floor. So if you were on the fifth floor, you'd have to stop at the first, second, third, fourth. Well, not on the first. You'd get on at the first. But you see how, you know, the individuals were thinking that I don't have to push a button, and they felt that that was breaking the Sabbath day. So they created this elevator just for that purpose. And I want us to imagine for a moment how different our Sabbath would be if we had stringent laws. We know we need to keep God's laws, but strict laws that have been added to God's laws, and if we had to observe them, it means you couldn't turn on the stove to warm up some food, or that you wouldn't be able to drive your car, because many of these different religions make extra rules and laws to where it's so difficult to even keep the Sabbath day properly. To even turn on your lights, they consider it's wrong to flip a switch and to connect that energy, or to drive as you turn over the engine. And so you think about that. And I noticed in one of the items they had written up that it was wrong to carry a key. You could have the key in your pocket in your house, but to walk outside the house, the rule was you couldn't carry that burden. So what they do to get around that, some of the men would make their key into a tie clip and put it on their tie, and that way they could carry it, because if it was clothing, it would be okay. So you think about that. For the women, they weren't allowed to look in a mirror. Not because it was wrong to look at yourself, but if they looked in the mirror and plucked out a gray hair, then that was a sin, because it fell under one of their terms of strictness, like you can't be plucking or planting or plowing. And they put all these items in there that were so, well, so tough to even keep the Sabbath day. Even to the point, the shoes you wore during the week, if they had nails in them, that was an extra burden to wear those shoes with nails on the Sabbath day, so you couldn't wear those that day. And you think about how man has added to God's laws. And we should consider how it became like that. Let's begin today in Jeremiah 17 and verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 21. And here the prophet Jeremiah tells us one reason of why Judah fell. And one of those reasons was because of the Sabbath day. They were warned through the prophets by God and told how important it was, and yet they disregarded that. Here in Jeremiah 17 and verse 21, it says, "Thus says the Eternal, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day." So you can see why some of these religions have come up with strict things like, okay, we're going to tell you what you can carry, what's a burden and what isn't. "Bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers." And it goes on to say that if they would do this, if they would obey God in a proper way, that God would bless them greatly. But let's go down to verse 27 and notice what happens if they didn't. Same chapter here, Jeremiah 17, verse 27. "But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." So God is saying, if you don't respect my Sabbath, that I'm literally going to destroy you. And in time, we know what happened to the children of Israel and the tribe of Judah, and how they went into captivity. But God allowed a portion of Judah to return. And I think for a while anyway, they learned their lesson. And they remembered the messages from Jeremiah and Ezekiel that warned them to be careful on how they keep this day and how special it is. And yet we know the Pharisees were a strict branch of Judaism, and they had religious authority during the time of Christ. And so they came up and started adding laws to God's laws. And we're told not to add to the laws of God. And so they made their man-made traditions to kind of form a hedge around God's laws. Like if we're not to break the Sabbath day, then we're going to put a hedge around that and not even get close to it. And we'll make another law that makes it harder to even get close to breaking that law. And so those that returned to Jerusalem, they didn't want to make the same mistake. And so they started adding regulations to what people could do, what they can't do on the Sabbath day. And isn't that typical of humans? That if we're over in this ditch and we tend to break the Sabbath day and we should come out of that ditch and get on the path and follow Jesus Christ, many times we end up in the other ditch and they started adding too many laws and making it a burden for people so that they couldn't keep it properly before God. Let's go back to Isaiah 59, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. As we look at the importance of the Sabbath day on this day. If you're like me, it's pretty easy to think that we're doing well in most areas and not even consider that we have room for improvement. So God wants us to look at our lives and consider where we stand before Him. And Judah, prior to their captivity, had let down in many areas. And so God sent His prophets to remind them, to encourage them. Here in chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." So God is not limited in any way. But verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." So we should take that to heart. There's things that we can improve in, things that we can do to bring God closer to us. And so these are words for all generations, not just for the Israelites, but for us today. How do we allow God to be closer in our lives? Or how do we even push God out? We need to think about what we've done to separate ourselves from Him so that He won't hear us. And we know the people of Judah and of Israel were blinded in what they were doing as they grew close or further and further away from God. And so we saw them go into captivity, and we knew why. They were complacent. They let down. We have to be careful not to do the same thing. And so this chapter describes how displeased God is when we regard, or disregard, I should say, His laws. That they're very important for us to think about. So let's notice something that the children of Israel were doing and letting down in that we also can do. Let's just go back to the previous chapter here, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And here we're given instruction that is so important. And yet, week by week, we can let down in this or not think about it as much as we should. Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the eternal honorable, and shall honor him." And now notice ways that we can do that. "Not doing your own ways." So things that we get used to doing, God says, you need to examine that and make sure whether it's following His will. "Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." I think all of us at times have broken these. We've let down in these. And it's important for us to think about that. We know that Judah and Israel had known the importance of the Sabbath day, and yet they let down. And we are prone to that as well. And we live in much different times than back in, say, 600 BC. We have a faster pace of life. We have this information knowledge time that there's so much that we can glean and know that they didn't know. But you know, one thing's the same, our human nature. We have the same nature they had, and we can let down just as they did. And we've always had, as mankind, a tendency to ignore God and to choose to do what we think is best. And so God is reminding us to draw closer to Him and keep His Sabbath in that way. Brethren, we show honor to God by refraining from the normal routine of this day. You know, it's the other 6 days of the week, we walk that way, and I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about things that are okay to do. There's some of those things are not what we should do on the seventh day. It's about living differently on the seventh day. Things that are okay those other 6 days, but now God says, I want you to keep this day holy. I want you to understand what it means to come into this close relationship with me. And that can be difficult. difficult to change our thinking and not do what everybody else around us does. Verse 14 mentions the blessing that God will give us if we do the things he asks of us. Verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Eternal has spoken. When we think about God's words, that they are true, they are faithful, and he will fulfill his promises, but he's asking us in this particular case to not do our own thing on the Sabbath day, to learn what he wants us to do, what is holy in God's eyes, not our eyes. And all of us desire to enjoy life, to feel blessed beyond measure, and God is inviting us to learn how he wants to bless us here, if we will simply follow him. That is what God is offering us. So my title today is your Sabbath a delight? That's what it asks us to do here, to delight in this day. And we all have looked at it in different ways over the years, and it can be a burden if we're not careful. So we should ask ourselves, do we observe this day as God intended? And we may think we do, but isn't that what Israel thought? Isn't that what Judah thought before they went into captivity? You and I are invited now to prepare, to mature, and to grow so that we're ready for the kingdom of God. And one of those processes is figuring out how to draw closer to God, how to live by his holy laws. And so we should ask ourselves, how could we please God more? How can we receive these great blessings that God is willing to pour out upon us? The Bible gives us direction in how to honor God and keep his seventh day holy, and we're to follow that. So I would like to cover 3 points which are instrumental in how well we respect God every seventh day. The first point is a command to remember. You know, God wants us to remember his laws, and especially the fourth commandment. He tells us to remember. We must never forget how important this day is to God, that he set aside a particular day for mankind to live differently than the other days. And years ago, I was talking with a person who had been in the church for close to 4 decades. But at that point in their life, they were no longer observing the Sabbath. And you know the reason they gave me why they weren't keeping the Sabbath any longer? They said, I refuse to worship a God who has to rest. And I just looked at that person and thought, really? You've done it for all these years. You proved it. You lived it. And now you're coming up with that excuse? Because God doesn't have to rest. He's just choosing to rest to set us an example. And so it's amazing what people think. And what if a person like that can go to that level, so can we. So we have to be careful that we learn from that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 as we look at that commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. As you're turning there, think about how much God likes to plan. I mean, hasn't he planned out everything? You know, the universe, the galaxies, this earth, every little detail about the mountains, the rivers, the rainfall, and the cycle. He's planned out to give his son's life to be our Savior. He planned out the words of this Bible to hand down, to have this book in our hands so we can hear the very words of God. All that and more he has planned out. And so here in Exodus 20, we'll read here the commands that God gave to the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, only this fourth commandment tells us to remember it. Not that we shouldn't remember all of them, but this one God knew with our human nature and our tendency to get off the path that God says, you better not forget this one. This one is very important. We need to think about that. Because when he says remember, it means it was already in effect. This isn't the first time that it had been given. God was reiterating it here to the children of Israel. And he codified his laws there at Mount Sinai, which codified simply means to be arranged in a systematic code. And so he printed those Ten Commandments on stone. And we have the opportunity to have them written here for us as a reminder. Now, verse 11 points back to creation and what God did. It's a reminder of the supreme being who gave us life, and that God was willing to set the example and to rest as we should today. And he sets his day apart from the others, doesn't he? Here it says that he put his blessing on it. Isn't that special, what God has done for us? He hallowed it. I mean, he honored it as holy. And so we can keep this seventh day every week as it rolls around, but not always think about how special it is in God's eyes. And here we're told to do no work. Well, then back in that day, you think about the agricultural society and how everyone spent time on their farms and many of them had servants. And here they're even told that don't let your animals do work. In other words, don't you be out there working with your animals, plowing the fields. Don't plant and don't weed and don't harvest and all the things that they had to do. And today, if we look at that, you know, God tells us not to work. It's so important to get our minds off that and take this break. But it includes more than just our physical job outside the home. You know, in our homes, we don't do our laundry on that day. We don't go grocery shopping on that day. God is saying, do no work. We don't go out and shop for clothes and all those things that we can do during the week that are totally fine. And even when it comes to school work, you know, God says, take a break. And over the years, I've seen so many students in high school and even college studying on the Sabbath and doing homework. And God is saying, take a break from that. Don't do your normal routine. Of course, here we see that the stranger is included. Someone visiting, maybe family member or someone traveling. He's saying, don't let them work within your gates. And so we have to be careful to consider that today. You know, years ago, my son, after he had left home, he came and lived with us a few years during college, and he was no longer keeping the Sabbath day. But I said, here's the rules of the house. You know, we're helping you through these couple college years, and we will pay your room and your board, but you have to respect our rules of the house. And he was mowing the lawn and taking care of the pool. So I said, you cannot do those on the Sabbath. You can't do your laundry on that day. And he honored that. And so it's important that we also, as ones who look over our property, that we're careful that we don't hire people or allow work to be done on our property. You know, I've heard individuals in the church that even said, well, my air conditioning broke down. It sure is hot this summer. I called the repairman out right away, and I had it fixed on the Sabbath. And I'm thinking, you know, this day is holy. You can't go through a little bit of warm temperatures for a few hours so that this worker can come on your property and you can pay him and do all that outside of the Sabbath day, because God says do no work and don't allow work to be done on your property. So whether our appliances break down or a hot water heater breaks, or there's a lawn service that we're using, we don't want them working on our property on that day. You know, it's not easy after 6 days of normal routine to all of a sudden change our life, to think differently. And that's what God is asking us to do. He's saying, with my help, with my spirit, you can live a different way. And so we're not only to not work on that day, but we're also to keep it holy. And that word means dedicated or consecrated to God or to a religious purpose. God is saying this day is sacred, and we have to look at it that way. We have to ingrain that in our minds so that everything we do or say comes under the laws that God has given us. We must distinguish how we use our time, because God's given us extra time because we put aside all those things that we do during the week. And so the Sabbath isn't just about stopping work, but it's what we replace that time with that's also important. How we spend time with our families and how we teach our children God's way. All our activities should honor God. We should think about that every week, every Sabbath. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Genesis 2 and verse 1. And we'll notice here how God blessed this day, how he hallowed it, as we already read, but here he gives another reason. Genesis 2, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So this seventh day has God's blessing on it. And he literally sanctified it, which means to set it apart as holy. And so this is a holy day. This is holy time that we've been invited into God's midst to look at it and understand it as he would want us to. Now, there's no mention of the word Sabbath here, but the word rested here in the Hebrew is Shabbat, meaning to cease. So God, literally, God ceased. It means to abstain from exertion. And it's literally the word, the root word for Sabbath. And so God chose to cease from his work, just as we're to do today. And he set us the example for that. And of course, God didn't need to rest, but he was showing mankind what was best for us. The way he created us physically, he said, this is the best thing for you, to take a break from that normal routine and be refreshed in my word, my ways, and think about the plan of God on a greater level than the rest of the days. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 and verse 12. As we look at just a few scriptures here that tell us how special this day is. Exodus 31 verse 12. And here God reminds Israel of the special covenant that he made with man. This agreement that God says, I'm making with each one of you. And yet we have a tendency to forget. Exodus 31, verse 12, it says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. See how important this is to God and therefore to us? The consequences of this are dire. Verse 15, continuing there, it says, Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the eternal. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. God is saying, this is so important. I want you to remember it. I want you to continue to keep it and to understand, you know, what he's trying to show us through the Sabbath. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. God chose the Israelites to be a model nation. He wanted the world to be able to look at a group of people that were living by his laws and how blessed they were, and for them to say, wow, look at those blessings. Look at the God they serve. We want to follow them. But they didn't set a very good example. And so today, as a church, as spiritual Israel, God is wanting us to do the same. We're very few in number in this world, but we still have people watching us. Your neighbors are looking to you to see, like, what are they doing on this certain day? And they may not even understand the significance of that, but one day they will grasp that. You know, we could hold up a sign, you know, a sign and say, hey, we're God's people. You know, we just tell everybody, we are God's people. But that wouldn't go over very well, would it? Because then they would say, well, what does that mean? I'm not God's person. I'm not, you know, have any relationship with God. So we don't do that. But God is saying this Sabbath, when we keep it, that's our sign. We don't need to hold up a sign. Keeping the Sabbath is a sign between us and God. So it's important that we continue in that. And so this day, Saturday, not Sunday, is the sign that God has given us And it's a reminder that God sanctifies us, that he set us apart for a holy purpose. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27. You know, if you've only known this way for, let's say, a few months to a year, there's things you're still learning. But the interesting part is, if you've been in the church for 3-4 decades, we're also still learning. There's all levels of growth that we can do. And so each year we should learn more about how to obey God, how to honor this day as holy. Mark 2, verse 27, "And he," Jesus, "said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." So think about that. That's a beautiful statement, because we know that this day was made for every human being that has ever lived. Now, most of them don't know it yet, but one day they will. And so there's a purpose for it. God never intended it to be a burden, to be really difficult to keep, to be hardship, and to have a list of forbidden items like, no, you can't do that, and no, you can't do that. No, he said this wasn't to be a burden, but a delight. So we need to think about that. God wants it to be where this day is positive. It's beneficial, and it's for our well-being. And as a child, I didn't always delight in the Sabbath day. And I think one of the reasons was my parents, even though they raised me in the church, they didn't really teach me the significance of it. And that was back in the 60s when they were teaching that. They kind of just said, you know, you study that, and when the sun's down, then you can go play. And I didn't really understand it as fully as I could have. And so then I thought, well, I can't wait for the sun to go down, because now I can have fun. But that's not how God wanted us to look at it. And as I've grown up over the years, I start to realize we can delight in that 24-hour period and not be rushing the sundown. We can literally see the beauty of studying more, praying more, fellowshipping, and on it goes, all the things that God intended. And so we must learn to delight in the Sabbath day. It's a time to focus on what God has in store for us, a time to teach our children, our grandchildren, the beauty of God's plan, because they're not going to hear it in school. They're not going to hear it among their friends on the street. They have to hear it through us. And as God teaches us, we can pass that on. Notice verse 28. "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." So when Jesus Christ said that, he's saying he's still Lord today, that he is over that. He created it for us. And he has the authority to tell us how to keep it holy. It's critical that we honor our Father in Jesus Christ by obeying the Sabbath commandment. Because as we've seen here, he said it's holy, it's sanctified, it's hallowed, it's blessed, and he said it's a sign. Look at all those things that God shows us the importance of this beautiful day. And so under this point, brethren, let's remember the importance of the fourth commandment. It's not enough to just cease work. It's about what we add back in, and to be careful with our words, to be careful that we don't do our own pleasures and live our own ways. Let's look at a second point. Point number 2, improve your Sabbath preparation. You know, haven't we all found ourselves on Friday evening rushing around trying to get ready for the Sabbath? I've done that, and you have all these things you want to get done, whether it's cleaning up the house a little bit or getting a meal partially prepared for after sundown. And all of a sudden you can look at your watch and say, well, I just have 5 minutes to sundown, I'll finish this. And then all of a sudden you look back down and you go, uh-oh, it's like 2 minutes past sundown. And when I do that, I think, you know, I'm literally breaking God's Sabbath day. I'm working on that day. And so we shouldn't just work right up to the last second. There should be a good little transition there where we recognize that we're not just like, okay, I'm 3 seconds away, I better stop. We need to think about that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3. Exodus 16 and verse 3. So this is about a month after the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. And here the people are complaining. Of course, we have a tendency to do that. We have to be careful about that. But let's notice some of the things they were complaining about here. Exodus 16, verse 3. "And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Quite the attitude, isn't it? To blame God for what he's doing. He's trying to bring them out of slavery and to teach him his ways, and this is the attitude. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. So many of the things that God gives us as laws is to test us, to see our attitude, whether we're humble, whether we're obedient. Verse 5, and it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare. And that's kind of my focus here. The preparation part that God wants us to get ready for a Sabbath day. That they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So, brethren, God wanted Israel to have extra time to enjoy the Sabbath day. He's saying, don't go out on the Sabbath morning to gather your food. No, I want you already to prepare it beforehand. I'll provide it that way. And so that's exactly what he did. He said, if you do that, then there's going to be other problems, as we'll see here in a moment. Let's skip down to verse 22. And it says, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the eternal. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And so God was showing that the seventh day was different. He's saying, take a little time to rest from your weekly labors and to enjoy this day. So do your preparation on Friday so that you have more time on the Sabbath. And in the ancient times, you think about all the work involved with baking and cooking. You know, today we can have our flour already ground. We don't have to go out and gather wood and build a roaring fire and then grind the wheat and mix up all the ingredients. No, they had so much more to do. So it was a big process for them. Going on in verse 24, so they laid it up until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And so, human nature once again, there were people who going out and trying to gather extra during the week. And of course, if they kept it overnight, it would start to turn bad and smell bad. And God said, don't do that. And then there were others that went out Sabbath morning looking for it. And they go, where is it? It's here all the other days. And so God is wanting us to follow these lessons. And he says, like he mentioned, he's testing us. And so he gave specific instructions for Friday in preparation for the Sabbath. Verse 27 says, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Regarding, don't go out and do work. You know, prepare beforehand and be ready. And so this is a good example of how we should get ready for the Sabbath. You know, God provided manna for the children of Israel for 40 years. But eventually, Israel let down. And they didn't have that manna anymore, and they went back to breaking down on the Sabbath. And I think that manna and the preparation there was a good reminder that every seventh day there was no manna. That was a good reminder that that day was different. But here in verse 30, it says, so the people rested on the seventh day. And that's what God is asking each one of us to do, to take a different approach to this day than all the other 6 days. Just as our Creator rested, just as he Shabbathed, so should we. And it's important for us to think about that. And I mentioned how God is a great planner. He's prepared. And we know in physical life that we need to be prepared. If we plan to take a vacation and we're going to go somewhere and just grab a motel while we're there, well, sometimes that motel might be booked up and we can't get a room. So we know we should prepare ahead of time. Or, oh, else at school. You know, if you have a test coming up, you don't usually just go and know you'll do well without studying. You prepare for that test. And that's simply what God is trying to teach us here. Even on our jobs, we prepare and get ready in the morning so we can be on time. And there's all these different aspects that we can understand in some principles, but we don't always apply it to the Sabbath. That we do need to prepare in many different ways so that the Sabbath is a delight. And when we do that, it allows us to build a relationship with God to a deeper level and also with one another, that we have that extra time when we would normally be doing other things. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. Numbers 15 and verse 32. And so, brethren, the Sabbath becomes more of a delight as we lessen our workload and we look at things differently. In other words, if we need gasoline for the Sabbath to travel to services, we prepare for that. We can go on Friday and gas up our cars. If we need groceries for a meal on the Sabbath, we've already done our shopping. We've already done our food shopping, our clothes shopping, and we leave that day for the extra things that God wants us to do. And so the key here is balance. Balance. Not to worry about the elevator that stops at every level, not to worry about flipping a switch, no, but to have that balance where we prepare to a level that allows us to truly enjoy that day to a greater level, so that we have more time to rest, more time to meditate, more time to study and pray, more time to serve and to fellowship. That's what God is wanting us to do. So here in Numbers 15 and verse 32, we'll look at an example that shows you how important this day is and the result if we don't keep it holy. Numbers 15, verse 32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Eternal commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Can you imagine if we were living at that time, and let's say that was our uncle, or that was our cousin, that was our grandpa, and we were throwing stones at this individual? I mean, you talk about a lesson that would be etched in our minds, thinking about this is something God does not want us to do. And it's that strong. And it wasn't even maybe the idea, you can say, well, he's just picking up sticks, but it was probably included with the attitude behind it. Like, that's no big deal, God. I can do this. And so with that whole combination, God says he should be put to death. In other words, he broke my laws. And we can be thankful today that we aren't stoned if we do that. But we do have to remember something. We will be judged. And yet we can repent and we can change our ways and be forgiven so that we don't have that death penalty still hanging over our heads. And that's what God is asking us to do. Because he's very merciful, and he'll be merciful to this man that was stoned. He'll be raised up and see the importance, and he can tell people in the future, you know that story in the Bible? That was me, and I had to learn the hard way. Don't do that. This Sabbath is truly beautiful, and it's a delight, and I took that for granted. You know, I'll just add an example here. Years ago, I lived in the state of Kansas, and the weather there in the winter is extreme at times, as many of you know. And every single year, it seemed without fail, I would hear about people that would go out driving and they weren't prepared. So this is under the point here that we need to be prepared for the Sabbath day. And so they weren't prepared. They didn't have extra clothing. They didn't have any food. They didn't have any water. They didn't have, you know, the gas tank filled up, whatever it was. And whether they ran off the road or their engine, you know, stopped working, every year I heard that people froze to death because they weren't prepared. And it sort of reminds me of this example, that if we're not prepared, and like God said here in Numbers, that this man should be put to death because he didn't do what God told him to do. And so that was always a reminder to me that we need to be prepared, whether it's weather or any other thing, but on a biblical level here, that God is asking us to prepare for that Sabbath day because it's very special to him. Do we think our preparation for every seventh day is as good as it can be? Do we take it for granted? Have we let down? Are there areas that we haven't even considered yet? And so in growing and developing, we should really stop and think, and each one of us might come from a little different angle based on how we live our lives, but we really should think, do I keep this day holy before God? What would he think of how I keep it? Let's go back to John chapter 19. John 19 and verse 31. You know, at times, just talking about preparation, let's say it's during the winter and you work all day on Friday. So you get off, let's say, at 5, you drive home, you get home at 5:15, sundown is at 5:30, let's say, during the winter. You don't really have time, if you're going to have a potluck the next day, to start preparing all that food. So preparation means that you might even go buy your groceries on Thursday night, that you might start preparing it some so that you're not crunched for time and literally work into the Sabbath when you didn't need to. So preparation comes into effect in a lot of ways there that we need to think about. And here in John 19, I want to stress the point that it doesn't only apply to the weekly Sabbath, but to God's annual holy days. For example, maybe you've seen the same thing, but at the feast many years, I see people coming in halfway during the opening service, and that's a holy day night, the first day of the feast. And they come in and they go, oh, I got in late and I had to go to my room and check in. Or sometimes I see them the next day during that day service, which is a holy day. And they said, well, I was unloading my car and I was doing all these things. See, we need to be prepared for all of God's holy days. So let's look at an example here about a high day, one of the annual holy days in John 19, verse 31. Breaking into the thought here, it says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So they knew the principle that we don't want to do this work on the Sabbath. And so the Jews were trying to get them off of the stake that they were on. Verse 32, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. So the point was they were trying to observe this rule, and yet they didn't have to rush things and break the legs like they did of the other individual. But we can see here that, you know, we know Christ died on a Passover, and so they wanted to bury him before that first day of unleavened bread, an annual holy day. So we need to think about that. The principle here is that we need to prepare for all of God's holy days. You know, to prepare for our car so it's ready, to prepare our food, our clothes. It gives us more time to honor God, more time to show thanks to God for everything he's done, extra time to talk with God in Bible study or to meditate on his way or to spend time with our family. That's what God wants for us. He's showing us how to delight in it. And the more we prepare, which not only is physically, we need to do that mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, the more we can delight in this day, which is very special to God and should be to us. So let's look at one last point. Point number 3 is discern between holy and unholy. Discern between holy and unholy. You know, our neighbors probably think we're a bit strange if we don't have a garage sale on the Sabbath, or we don't do our yard work, we dress up and go to church. And they can look at us like, boy, you're different than anybody we've lived around. And I know at the last house I was at, I lived there for 15 years, and my neighbors never said one thing. They never asked us one question about where we were going on the Sabbath, and yet every week they saw us leave the home all dressed up. And I figured, well, maybe they don't even know what we're doing. But one day, after about 12 years of living there, my one neighbor was talking to the other neighbor across the street, and this one guy, he was 6'8". He just towered above everybody. He's talking to the lady next door, and he looks over at me and says, hey, Doug, I want you to pray for us when you go to church. And then he mentioned the item he wanted us to pray about. And I thought, it just hit me. I thought, he does know where I'm going. I've never said. He's never asked. But people are watching. And they're you know, they maybe don't see the lesson, but they do notice things. And we're all at different levels here. You know, some of you have been in the church for 40 years, and some of you 2 years. So we're all growing at different levels, but God is saying, I want you to understand what is holy and what isn't. We have to determine that so that we keep this day proper. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22 and verse 8. We know that Judah had let down in God's laws. And here it's giving a list of sins that they had broken, and one of them is the Sabbath. It's included in that. Ezekiel 22 and verse 8, it says, "You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths." We can do that today as well. Skipping down to verse 15, "Because they did that," it says, "I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you." At times we don't understand, you know, what it means to profane God. And that word profane means to treat something sacred, something that is sacred, with irreverence or disrespect. That's what our Heavenly Father is saying through Jesus Christ that we're doing to them when we take the Sabbath and, you know, ignore some of his laws towards it. Skipping down to verse 26, it mentions that not only the people, but here her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. And so we looked at earlier what Isaiah said that we should be doing, not doing our own ways. That's one way to profane God. We have to be careful with that. So we should let go of those items that are not holy. You know, have we examined to see, you know, we watch television, let's say during the week. Are we careful with what we view on the Sabbath? Do we look at each thing and say, is that holy? Or is that, as it says here, unholy or clean and unclean? God wants us to be learning and growing there. We also read in the book of Isaiah how we're not to find our own pleasure. You know, God wants us to delight in this day, but he doesn't want us to just do whatever we desire, whatever we want. And he doesn't want us to set rules like the Pharisees, but instead we're to enjoy this day. So throughout our Christian walk, we have to have a different focus. We're learning how to keep this day sacred before God. And then he mentions even speaking our own words. You know, words that are acceptable Sunday through Friday. That if we come here, God says, those are your own words. So we have to be careful, because working all week, and we come up to Friday afternoon and we're talking about our job and paying bills before the Sabbath, but all of a sudden, when that sun goes down, those are words that are not pleasing to God. He's saying, I want you to refrain from that. I want you to put these other things in your mind. And so even at church services, don't we at times hear topics that we think, you know, that's not too Sabbath-oriented. And I'm not saying we should judge anybody, but you and I have to step up the level and do better. Not criticize people, but bring around a topic that is holy and not unholy. So we need to think about that and consider that. It's easy for us to slip up and think about, talk about, or do things that God says, no, those shouldn't be done on my seventh day. Notice what it says here in verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So God says, you know, I'm looking for even one person, one man, one woman, to stand up and live by my laws. And he says, I can't find anybody. Verse 31, therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the eternal God. So we need to be men and women that are willing to stand in the gap, willing to stand up for what God has told us to do, so that we show him honor, so that we are growing and preparing for the coming kingdom of God. So we should ask ourselves, what should I do on the Sabbath day? What shouldn't I do? And be thinking about what's holy and not holy. Now, many of the Jewish regulations were extreme. You know, I've read some of the lists of what they could and couldn't do. Some of the items they couldn't do, if your house was on fire and you had a pile of your clothes you wanted to carry out, you couldn't pick it up. That was carrying a burden on the Sabbath. But you could put them on. Whatever you were wearing was okay. That wasn't breaking the law. So you'd have to go put on a couple coats and a couple pairs of pants, and slip on an extra pair of shoes or whatever you could, carry it outside, take it all off, and run back in and do it again. You see how extreme man can be. And this is not what God is asking of us. Man tends to make it a burden. And so this is a learning process, because we not only stop doing the labor on that day, but we're also trying to consider what we should think about, what we should talk about, so that we honor God in our words. The key is really to study the life of Christ, to see how he walked and how he lived. Let's end here with Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. So at the time of Christ, the Pharisees added so many regulations around God's laws. What they really did was break it down into 39 categories. You know, you couldn't sow your seed, you couldn't harvest, you couldn't plant, you couldn't, all these things they could not do. And then they took those and broke them down into hundreds of other items. So Luke 6, verse 1. And we'll see how they were critical of Christ and some of the things he did on the Sabbath. It says, "Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?'" Can you imagine? Here they're talking to the Lord of the Sabbath, saying, "You're not doing what's right." But they had no idea, did they? So you think about Jesus Christ's standpoint. He says, "Here I am out walking on the Sabbath, enjoying the beauty of the creation. I'm a little hungry. I want a snack. I'm going to take a little bit of this grain and chew on it." And so Jesus knew the law perfectly. And so it's so easy for us as men and women to be in one ditch or the other. And we have to be careful of that. Today it's more common for us to be too lax in keeping God's Sabbath holy. It's so easy to let down and do things that aren't proper. So we have to be careful. And so the Pharisees lost sight. And God says, delight in it. But they said, you know, you can't walk this far. It's beyond a Sabbath day's journey. Or you can't flip a light switch. And that's not what God intended. Their traditions were contrary to Christ's teaching. Let's pick it up in verse 6. We'll look at another incident regarding the Sabbath. "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?'" So here was another area that the Pharisees had labeled as, this isn't lawful, this isn't holy. And Jesus Christ was trying to say, yes, it is. I'm showing you here as an example of what you can and can't do. So our goal is to grow and mature in these ways. You know, the church isn't here to tell you, no, you can't do that and you should be doing that. We read our Bibles, we can encourage, we can talk amongst ourselves, but we're all to be developing and thinking about how we can keep the Sabbath holier than we do, with God's help and direction. Verse 10, "And when he had looked around at them, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." So, brethren, think about, if we're not careful, we can literally set laws in motion that go against God's laws. We're like, oh, you can't be healed on the Sabbath. You can't be anointed. No, we don't teach that. And so we have to be careful. And of course, it is a day of rest, but we want to make sure that we aren't sleeping half of the day. That's not the purpose of it. It's to get a little extra rest. But if we sleep away the day so we don't have to study or go to church, that defeats the effect. It's not a day to clean house. But on the other hand, if you're carrying something and you spill it, you want to clean it up. See, I've had members in the past say, you know what, my husband told me that we spilled that, we have to leave that for tomorrow. I said, really? No, you know, God's law is not to be a burden. You know, we don't want to, you know, for us humans, we tend to step out of bounds all the time. And so I'm not making fun of anybody, but we really have to look at things from a godly perspective and to use common sense that we clean up if we made a little mess. If you spill a glass of water, you just, or a bowl of chili, you don't leave it there for another day. So, brethren, we need to think about that. We need to consider that there's also what the Bible refers to as the ox in the ditch. You know, you don't plan for your animal to fall into a ditch on the Sabbath, but if it does, you have to be willing to help get that animal out. In the same way, you know, over where I lived in Orlando, my sprinkler or watering days were on Saturday. And so my timer just came on. I didn't have to do any work. It was just that way. It watered the lawn. But on the other hand, if my neighbor comes over on Sabbath and says, "Hey, Doug, your sprinkler out there is broken. It's shooting up in the air and water's running down and you're wasting it." I'm not going to say, "Well, it's a Sabbath day. I can't do anything." You know, I'll go out there and look at it. I'll go turn it to another station or I'll go turn it off. But the balance would be I'm also not going to go to Home Depot and start fixing it. See, so brethren, every situation we have to look at. And we don't want to judge others because we usually don't know the whole situation. But we have to be careful that each one of us looks at ourselves and judges ourselves, as God says, so that he doesn't have to judge us on that. So when we think about the Sabbath day, it really is more than just not working, more than not going to school that day, more than not going to the football game or doing our laundry or our bills or yard work. Yes, we put those things aside, but God is saying, I want you to add things in that you can delight in, things that honor me as you fellowship with one another, as you talk about the words of God, as you teach your children, as you study your Bible, as you meditate, as you even take a walk on the Sabbath morning and look at the beauty of the trees and the flowers and God's creation, all these things God wants us to have a balance in. And so Jesus Christ's words remind us not to make the Sabbath a burden, not to add all those restrictions that man tends to do. And so in conclusion, I have much more to share about the Sabbath day. I have several other points, so I'm going to share them for the next sermon. And we'll cover more of that in detail at that time. But as we think about Israel and Judah, they let down in keeping the Sabbath day as God's physical nation. And we are spiritual Israel. We need to do better. With God's Holy Spirit, we need to really look at how we honor God on this day, that we truly are delighting in it, so that one day, just as Isaiah tells us, and these are the words of God, he says, if you are careful with your words, or if you are careful not to do your own pleasure and to walk in your own ways on this day, then he says, I will bless you with the heritage of Jacob. I will allow you to ride on the high hills of the earth. I mean, what tremendous blessings that God wants us to give to each one of us. What he's really saying is, I want you to be my sons and daughters. So I encourage all of us to think more about these scriptures and others that I haven't read and how we can truly delight on God's Sabbath day.